Valentine's Day present. Looky here. This is a grandbaby. Looky here at Mr. Grayson. Can everybody see him? Wow, and at 8 o'clock, we don't get this very often. Amen. Young parents come to the 10:30 service, but grandparents come at 8 o'clock. Looky here. Can everybody all together? Did y'all all? Oh, wow. Valentine. Man, he's precious. I think he may be a natural up here. Wow. He is a dandy. Now, is this the first? Wow, first grand youngin'. Wow, I hope you have many, many more. Oops. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 3. Just changed the sermon. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. As we continue our sermon series on the family, looking at husband and wife relationships. 4 weeks ago, we introduced you to Matthew 19, where Jesus talked about the design of marriage is biblical oneness, where a male and a female leave their parents, cleave to each other, and become one. And then we saw man's destruction of marriage is the hardness of the heart. It can be the husband's heart, can be the wife's heart, or it can be both hearts. And then for the last 2 weeks, including today, we're talking about the deliverance of marriage. We believe that God can take a hard-hearted husband and do a spiritual medicated heart stent, and that heart began to flow with the love of Jesus again for His wife. And that marriage be all that God intended it to be. If a man will heed and obey 1 Peter 3:7, Ephesians 5:25 through 33, and cultivate a close, intimate walk with the Lord. But you know, men are not the only problem in a marriage. Many marriages, and most marriages, end in divorce, not because of the hardness of the man's heart only, but because of the hardness of the wife's heart. This morning, we're going to do a procedure called a spiritual medicated heart stent for women. It's a completely different procedure. Ladies, if you'll be open to God and His Word, your marriage could be saved. Your marriage could become the marriage God intends it to be. I ask you, ladies, to be just as open to God this morning as you've wanted your husbands to be the last couple of weeks. I'm going to subtitle this message, How to Like the Man You Love. How to Like the Man You Love. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 says this. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now go to the last part of verse 33. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Got a call this week from a man who believed I was extremely hard on men. And seemed to believe that I took up for ladies more than men. And I can understand why it might seem that way. Yet research says 80% of filings for divorce are filed by women. And only 20% by men. 80% of the women who file for divorce blame their husbands. Primary reason is because he will not change. Most ladies in my office will confess when they get to a point to where a separation has taken place that's probably leading to a divorce, the lady will admit, he's not changed. So I always ask this. Is he still the man you dated? And every time to the girl, the lady will say, yes. To which I'll reply, so what you're telling me is the reason for the divorce is he won't change, but you have changed. Absolutely. And with your change, your expectations of what you want from the marriage have changed. Absolutely. To which I believe this. In a lady's life, when her heart gets hard, she will file for divorce because she wants more than she married. Do you ladies hear that? Ladies, men find the right woman, grab hold of you, and want things to say the same forever. Men don't like change. The first thing you do is cut your hair. Women never marry Mr. Right. So women settle, usually for less than they want. Believing with all their heart, the husband will change. In a study by the Chicago Sun-Times, 77% of men said they would marry the same woman again. Only 50% of women said they would marry the same man again. Don't go home and ask your wives. Just trust she would. During marital conflict, 72% of women feel unloved by their husband. In that same conflict, according to a survey by a Christian group, 83% of men in that same conflict feel disrespected. What does that tell us? It tells us exactly what the Bible tells us. Primary need of a wife to function as God has ordained her to function is the need to be loved unconditionally by her husband. And we've talked about that the last 2 weeks. Ladies, according to the Bible, the number one need of a husband is not to be loved unconditionally, but to be respected unconditionally. Every lady that I know does not want her husband's love for her to be based on conditions she has to meet. She doesn't want to have to do certain things to earn His love. Agreed, ladies? You want Him to love you for who you are. And yet, you do not take seriously His need to be respected unconditionally. You say, hold it, Brother Ricky. You got to be worthy of respect. You've got to earn respect. That's what the world says. Not what God says. I'm saying to you ladies this morning, your husband has the need for you to respect him unconditionally. When things aren't going good in the marriage, you're going to feel unloved. When things aren't going good in the marriage, he's going to feel disrespected. I want you to watch this. You as a lady need to be loved unconditionally. Your husband is wired by God to love you unconditionally. But in order for him to love you unconditionally, he must be respected. A disrespected husband is always going to react unlovingly. So if you don't respect him, he can't love you. You say, but Brother Ricky, he's supposed to. I know he's supposed to. But you know what you're supposed to do? Respect him. When a husband is disrespected, he won't love unconditionally. And while he's being unloving, a wife who is sensing she's being unloved will be disrespected. And so the wife's being disrespected, the husband's being unloving, and the cycle goes on and on and on. I've pleaded for 2 weeks for the husbands to break this vicious cycle and love their wives as Christ loved the church. And that's what they should do. But ladies, you should, according to the Word, respect your husband. The key to the change you so desperately want in your marriage is not about him, it's about you. 1 Peter 3 tells a lady this. If you want to change your husband, if you want to change life in the home, it doesn't start with him. Who does it start with? It starts with you. 1 Peter 3, if you study the context, is about a wife married to a man who disobeys the Word. That probably means an unbeliever, but it could mean an immature man, a man who does not live by the Word. You know how you change a man who is not living by the Word? Without a word. You don't gripe and you don't complain and you don't bellyache and you don't criticize and you don't yell. You live a holy and respectful life before Him. Respectful to Him. Wow. You don't go get your hair fixed. You don't go buy new clothes. You don't need another diamond ring. That's not going to save the marriage. What you need is to adorn yourself with a peaceful and tranquil spirit. And you live that life before Him, to Him, just as Sarah did. Why? Because she hoped in God. See, Sarah did it her way and caused a mess. When she did it God's way, she got what she wanted. She got a child they could both love. Amen? The child of promise. I'm telling you, I believe that modern science and the Bible agree that the primary need of a man is unconditional respect. Now here's the question. Are you a daughter of Eve or are you a daughter of Sarah? You going to hope in God and do it God's way and obey the Word as Sarah did? Or are you going to do it like Eve did and believe you know more than God and do it your way? See, you may have been sitting here the last 2 weeks believing that the condition of your marriage is caused by your husband being unloving. But I'm standing before you this morning saying this. The condition of your marriage reflects your attitude towards your husband. And that's an attitude of disrespect because you are doing it your way instead of God's way. Eve disobeyed God's Word and it cost her her home. If you continue to disobey God's Word, you will lose your husband. You may stay married in the eye of the community, but in your home there will be a separation. He will pull away from you, and you know it to be true. And the key is not by you talking more about what's wrong in the marriage. The key is to you living right before Him, a lie that says to Him, I love you respectfully and I love you relationally. You are my head. I am your body. I respect you. The word respect in the dictionary means to place high value on, to hold in high regard, to appreciate. When women are asked to define respect toward their husband, most women can't define it. But if you ask women, do they know when they disrespect their husband, they always say yes. So if you're struggling with what it means to respect your husband, just do the opposite of what you're doing when you disrespect him. And that will get you started down the right road. You ladies listening to me? Your husband, because he's your head, does not have to earn your respect. You want some biblical examples of this? Do any of you remember the story of Gideon? I love that story. We meet Gideon when Israel's in a tough time. And Gideon, when we first meet him, where's he at? He's at the wine press. But what's he doing? He's not working with grapes. What's he working with? He's working with wheat. He's threshing his wheat in the wine press. Why? Because the armies of Midian have come in and they've ravaged the land. And here Gideon is trying to thresh his wheat. But where's he threshing it? He's threshing it in the last place they would look for him to be threshing wheat. And that's in the wine press, which means what? What does every guy get right here? He was a chicken. Amen? He's hiding in the wine press because he can't defend what's his from the enemy. So he's a chicken. He's a coward. He's hiding. And when the angel of the Lord appears to him, what does the angel of the Lord have said? The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And I just believe Gideon did this. Who? Because he knew in his heart of hearts he wasn't a mighty man of valor, or he'd be out there threshing the wheat in public. Amen? Saying, come and get it over my dead body. God respected Gideon. Why? Because he saw who he was. And it wasn't based on what he was doing at that moment. You ladies remember a guy named Peter? He was first Simon, right? Jesus said, Simon, Simon, by the way, boy, I'm going to change your name to Peter. To rock. Did Peter look like a rock during the first 3.5 years of his life with Jesus? Absolutely not. But boy, on the day of Pentecost, the rock came through. Amen. Do you ladies see this? Your husband needs you to respect him. And here's the first thing that I think is important for you to be able to respect him biblically, and that's this. You got to understand this. He is not your girlfriend. I am not my wife's girlfriend. I will never be my wife's girlfriend. I'm never going to try to be a girlfriend. I couldn't be a girlfriend if I tried. I would fail miserably, so I'm not going to try. You know why I'm not going to try? Because I'm not a girl. Amen? I'm a man. I'm the male. And here's where I think we got to get this thing straight. The Bible reveals that God's design for the marriage is oneness. But in the oneness, the male does not lose his identity and the female does not lose her identity. They do not become blended. They stay distinct, male and female. But in the male-female relationship, they become one. You are female, he is male, he is different from you and always will be different, and you can't make him like you. That's what girlfriends are for. Amen? You know, they have discovered in research that when a man marries a woman and transports her to another part of the country, and she's taken from mother, and she's taken from sister, and she's taken from friends, most of those marriages fail. Because when she doesn't have a girlfriend, she tries to make him the girlfriend. And he fails miserably. And all of a sudden, instead of realizing who he is, all she knows is who he's not. He's not like me. If you're going to live in Dexter, you better marry a girl from Dexter. Because you are not like her. He is not like you. See, she wears glasses and everything she sees is funneled through her glasses. From time to time, I'll be over at my mom and dad's house, and if I don't take my glasses with them, they'll want me to look something up, and mama would give me her glasses, and I try to read through her glasses, and it just doesn't look the same as it does through my glasses. And here's what I know. Men wear blue glasses and women wear pink glasses, and they do not look the same. I am so thankful when a little baby is usually brought to church. Tiny infants, they dress the little girls in pink and they dress the little boys in blue. Because when they're a day or two, a week, 2 weeks old, all babies look the same. Amen. You can't tell male or female from the face. I'm terrified when the baby's in brown. See, if it's pink, I say she. If it's blue, I say he. When it's brown, I say it. Because I don't know what it is. Honey, I know what I am. I'm not an it. I'm male. And you got to know that about me too. You got to know that about your husband. Therefore, you got to accept this. Because he's different does not mean he's wrong. See, when you put those pink glasses on and you look through life through your pink glasses, you believe he's wrong and he's doing things wrong. Therefore, you lash out at him, you complain, you gripe, you critique. He's not wrong. He's different. He looks at the same situation you look at, but he doesn't look through pink glasses. He looks through blue glasses. Have any of you ever took pink and blue? Blue being a primary color. Pink's not primary color. It's red and white together, blended. But when you take pink, put it with blue, what do you get? People will say purple. You don't get purple. You get light, ugly purple. It's not bold. Doesn't stand out. Marriage is not the blending of a male and female into something new. In marriage, there is distinct maleness and distinct femaleness. And every lady here must understand that. He may change, but you can't do it. Expecting him to be pink. He will become who you need him to be if you allow him to stay blue. But become the man God wants him to be, still seeing the world through blue glasses. And here's what I want you ladies to understand. He's going to love you according to who he is. it takes a long time for Him to truly be able to love you like Christ loved the church. You're going to make it really difficult for Him to get there if you continue on this cycle of disrespect. So here's what I want you to respect about Him. Four things. You know, as I was studying early this morning, I think sometime in the winter, we need to have a marriage retreat. I don't like talking about all this a week or two or a month apart. Do you agree? We just need to all get together and lay it out for a man, lay it out for a woman, and let's do it all together. So let's all pray about that, okay? A weekend where we just get together and talk about the male-female relationship, husbands and wives. But here's what you ladies have got to go away with this morning. Your husband needs you to respect him in these four areas. First area is this. He needs you to respect his need to work. Now, I want to say this. I said this about the wives. I want to say this about the men. There are men who, because of genetics, may not fall into this pattern 100%. There may have been spiritual abuse. There may have been physical abuse. There may be emotional abuse. So you may be married to a man who doesn't fit this exactly. But generally, this is true. If you have a man who doesn't fall into these categories, you need to be concerned and you need to be praying for him for his health. But if your man is healthy, physically, spiritually, and psychologically, he has a need to work. And you got to respect that need. And most ladies don't. Because you're not blue, you're pink. I want you ladies to watch this. Next time you meet somebody that you know but you hadn't met in a long time, you hadn't seen them in a long time, and they're a couple, and you meet them, say somewhere, notice what happens. You immediately get real close to the girl, and y'all hug, and y'all start talking, and you immediately start talking about the kids. You pull out the pictures, you just get caught up just like that. And while you're doing this, I want you to look at your husband and the other husband. They'll be standing apart with space in between them. They'll have their hands in their pockets. And when they do bring them out, we're checking each other out. It's like two boxers in a ring. I got to find out what kind of man this man is before I start really talking to him. So do you know what the first thing a man's going to ask another man? And eventually one of the men will talk. What do you do? And I back up. And when he tells me what he does, he knows I'm talking about vocation, career. I'm going to make a judgment about what kind of man he is. Agreed, men? Is that not true? If I meet him and he tells me he's a secretary, I'm going to get popcorn and a Coke. I've just made a judgment about this guy. I've just walked away thinking he's not a real man because that job doesn't signify manliness. And I'll tell y'all what happens to me when I'm outside this area. I get to travel from time to time, and when I'm in another place and a man meets me, he'll eventually say, "What do you do?" And I always say this to men, I don't know. I say, "I'm a farmer." I never tell a man first, "I'm a preacher." Because when a man tells a man he doesn't know he's a preacher, I know what that man thinks. Not a real man job. Kind of wimpy, kind of lazy, not really needed. Come on, you guys be honest. Before y'all became Christians, that's how you viewed preachers. Agreed? Amen? Come on. So I don't say I'm a preacher. I say I'm a farmer. Talk about farming with my dad. Talk about my cattle. And then I say, watch this. Got 2,000 sheep. I didn't know they raised sheep in West Kentucky. Yeah, I got 2,000. What kind of sheep do you raise? Baptist. Baptist sheep? Yeah, I'm a preacher. And you'll see the look I get. I just see it go down, down, down. Ladies, your husband finds significance in His work. Because God wired him to be a provider. God wired him to be a protector. And the way He does that is by working for you. If you have a man who enjoys his work, you better cheer him on and quit thinking he's doing that for himself. No, he's working for you. Because God's wired him to be the provider and to be the protector, and he does that by working. I believe with all of my heart, I don't mean this disrespectful, I mean this in the best way possible, but I believe one of the reasons so many of us men have to engage ourselves after work in fishing and hunting and sports and golf is because we don't find real significance at work. A man has been wired by God to need to conquer, to expand the empire, to start another business, to be better than everybody else, to do it one up. And if he has a job where he cannot do that, he's going to take his buddy out to the golf course and beat him. Amen? He's going to take him to the lake and outfish him. Amen? He's going to hunt with him and get a better buck than he's going to get. Because every man has a desire to conquer. And the society in which we're living in now does not let men be conquerors. That's why a man's going to take a risk at work. That's why he's going to change jobs. And when he changes jobs, you're going to be scared to death. And you're wanting to stay where he is. And what you're saying to him is you don't respect him. One of the biggest problems in marriages is caused by wives who will not live under what their husband brings home. And because you do not manage what he brings home, you complain about you having to work. You complain about bills. You complain about you don't have this. You talk about his boss. You talk about how he needs to be paid more. You know what he hears? You don't respect me. And that man thinks he's not doing enough. And you think you're going to drive him. Yeah, you're going to drive him, but not up. You're going to drive him down. Because he'll get to the point to know you're never going to respect him. Do you ladies hear me? Respect his need to work. Also, respect his need to lead. L-E-A-D, lead. God wired the man to be the head. And he will lead. I promise you, it may be as simple as, what do you want to do? Don't say you don't care. Or when he says, let's go, go. Every time he leads, you don't want to do it. He's going to quit leading. Every time he gets ready to lead, you argue about it. He's going to quit leading. See, if you really respect your husband, when he leads, here's what you do. You'll follow. You'll follow. Most women never let their husbands lead, even though they want him to be the leader. Because most ladies in the unsanctified state are rebels at home. You want him to lead as long as he does it your way. You're just like a Baptist church. Everybody's in agreement with the preacher until the preacher does something they don't agree with. Amen? It's amazing how smart Brother Ricky is as long as Brother Ricky's believing what you're believing. Let Brother Ricky go in a different direction. All of a sudden, whoa, Brother Ricky's not as smart as he used to be. And that's exactly what's going on in the home. Can I say this to you, ladies? He needs you to follow him. See, when you follow him, here's what it does. He has to be responsible for the consequences. Most husbands will not agree with me that they are responsible for the condition of the home on this merit, because the home has never done what they've wanted the home to do. So we've never done it the man's way. Because the wife believes her way is better. Most homes are just like the presidency of Jimmy Carter. I was not old enough to know all of the politics of Jimmy Carter, but Jimmy Carter was the first president I liked. But I believe among modern presidents, he would be considered a failure as a president. Everybody agree? Now, the only reason I like Jimmy Carter as a president was not because he was a Democrat, not because he was in the state of Georgia, which was in the South. I like Jimmy Carter because he professed to be a born-again Christian. What I read about Jimmy Carter, he would sit down with foreign dignitaries and he would witness to them. And I thought that was really, really neat. Found out later as a Christian, Jimmy Carter and I don't agree on a lot of things biblically. But here's what I know about Jimmy Carter. To my knowledge, if you study history, Jimmy Carter never had a piece of legislature passed that was his. Congress always took issue with what he wanted to do. Now watch this. Congress wasn't Republicans. You know who Congress was? Democrats. Democratic Congress had a Democratic president and they didn't agree with their president. And so every time the president wanted to do something, they watered it down what he wanted to do. And we never blame Congress. You know who we blame? We blame Jimmy Carter as a poor president. But the man never got a policy passed. By the way, didn't he try to lead us to be independent of foreign oil? Boy, where's that in God us? Not listening. And I want to say to you ladies, many of you have the marriage that reflects not your husband's leadership, but your leadership. Because he loves you that most of the time he gives in and does it your way. And your marriage reflects you, not him. You follow him and quit arguing. The most humbling thing that comes out of the mouth of my wife is when she says, "I'm glad you're the head. You think I'm going to make a dumb decision? When I know that responsibility is on my shoulders alone." Don't let your husband pass the buck to you by following him. Thirdly, listen to this. He has a need to rest. Now, would you listen to this? He's working and he's leading. And that's tough. It's draining. So here's what I believe every man needs. He needs a place to rest. And you know what that place is called? It's called home. I don't advise you to do this, but I saw a movie one time called Robin Hood. And there's a scene in the movie where the guy that's going to be Robin Hood is talking to the king of England, who's King John, and he's a self-centered king. And he listens to the request of Robin Hood. And King John says, "You believe every man deserves a castle?" And Robin Hood says, "Every man's home is his castle." And all of the poor men cheer him on, because here's what every man knows. Home is our castle. We go off to work. We go off to conquer. We lead. We put our armor on every day. We fight. We tug. We struggle. We try to get ahead. We try to lead. And then we finally get to come home. And when we come home to the castle, we want to let the gate down. We want to raise the drawbridge. Amen, guys? And we want to take the armor off and rest. The last thing we want to do is fight. The last thing we want to do is argue. The last thing we want to do is to change something that we've already changed 5 times and we know you're going to change it again if we change it this time. We just need to be able to be ourselves and not be attacked. And every man likes what he likes to come home to. Well, if you really respect him, why don't you turn your home into a castle? And am I not right? Normally the guy who lives in the castle is called the king. Is that not right? But now hold it. Isn't the king's wife usually called the queen? I've never met a woman who says, "Brother Ricky, I want my husband to treat me like a king." I've always met a woman who says, "I just wish my husband would treat me like a queen." Well, he'll treat you like a queen when you respect him for who he is, the king. And by the way, ladies, the reason he won't fight with you and the reason he won't argue with you is because he can't win. I have never won a fight at home. Even when I'm right, I lose. Amen? And of course, I'm always right because I see things through blue glasses, but I always lose. Therefore, I refuse to fight. Now, I want to say something to you ladies. Because a husband has a need to work and a need to lead, if you don't make his home a castle where he can come home and take the armor off and be him, let me tell you what he'll do. He will stay at work. And he will find other organizations that he can be the leader, because when that season ends, they give him a plaque telling him he's the greatest coach in the world. They give him a plaque saying he led the business to be a whatever it is. And at home, he never hears a word from you about who he is. He just always hears who he isn't. And he's tired of hearing who he isn't because he's becoming who he really isn't because he's listening to you. That's disrespect. Please quit talking about what he's not doing and talk about what he's doing right. Because if you want him to become the man God ordained him to be, God's going to use you by giving him the respect he needs. Fourth and in closing. Husband not only has a need to work and a need to lead and a need to rest, he has a need to make love to his wife. I can't tell you how many men sit in my office and feel disrespected in this area. Most men, because of the way they're designed, have been made to feel by their wives that they're sinful and they're selfish for wanting to touch you and to make love to you. And all we've been told our whole life is we need to get in touch with our feminine side. And when we make love to you, that's what we're doing. We're getting in touch with our feminine side. See, I've been told you, there's no femininity in me at all. Amen, Danny? Not a bit. We are not female. We are male. We have no feminine side. But we do need to get in touch with our feminine side every once in a while, right? Which is our wife, our body. So when Lisa wants me to get in touch with my feminine side, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to touch her. She's my feminine side. God wired me and every man in here who's healthy to get release from everything a woman gets released from. Except when a woman needs release, what does she want to do? She wants to talk. That's why a lady always says, "He won't talk to me." Why do you need to talk? Because you know what talking does. There's this release that comes by talking. Agreed, ladies? You know where that release comes from, man? And he's not being selfish. He's not being sinful. It comes through physical intimacy. It comes from sexually satisfying sex with his wife. How dare you make him feel sinful? Have you read through the wisdom literature of the Bible and seen how many times the Bible tells a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth? But then what does it say in Proverbs 5:19? Let her breast satisfy you at all times. What does God know? He designed men to be visually stimulated. Therefore, we are going to want to make love to you. And you need to respect that need. I got to tell you the story I read. There was a young married girl who called her mother to tell her mother that they were not coming to the family, whatever. And the mom said, "Why?" And she said, "Because he's a twit." And the mom said, "What has he done? What's going on?" And the girl said, "Well, it's been 7 days." and he's just in a work. And she was expecting the mom to take her side. And here's what the mom gave her daughter as advice. First of all, she scolded her, ripped her, and then said this: "Why would you deprive him of something that takes so little time and yet makes him so happy?" That's a mother to her daughter. A mother, I might say, who had been happily married for 47 years. Who understood, yes, she sees life through pink glasses, but her husband wears blue glasses and he's not like her. But praise God, she doesn't need another girlfriend. What she really needs is someone to be one with, and that's a godly man who will love you unconditionally if you will respect him unconditionally. So the next time you want him to love you, ask yourself, is the reason he can't love me the way I want to be loved is because I'm not respecting him the way he needs to be respected? To respect him, start complimenting, quit complaining. Start following, quit arguing. Start encouraging, quit discouraging, and start responding instead of resisting. Because despite what you would do, he would marry you all over again if given the opportunity. He loves you that much. Will you respect him enough to give him what he needs because of who he is to you, your head? Let's pray. Father, Father, I know these ladies know me. They know I love them. They've listened to me challenge and motivate their husbands, and now I pray they'll let me motivate them to be the wife that they need to be, because they'll never find fulfillment doing it their way. They'll only find fulfillment doing it God's way. Father, please help this be a church where the women truly respect their husbands. Let the men go home and say to their wife, "Hey, that need I don't have, but this need I do have." Let us truly get to understand each other. Let a wife understand how important the job is, the extracurriculars are, my home, and my bedroom. Because that's how God wired us as men. And we're blue, and we're never going to be purple. And Father, help us men know that when we get that respect we need, we'll be more loving. But even if we don't get it, we still got to love like Christ loved. One of us can break this cycle. In Christ's name we pray.